Take our Bibles together this morning and turn into the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23, Luke's Gospel chapter 23, and we begin to read at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The cross is the central theme of everything. We set our time by it. We set our calendars by it. Even the world sets their dates by it. The cross of Christ is the central part of God's theme for mankind. And this morning we want to look at the three crosses. The one in the middle is the one that is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ hung. But we want to look at the one on the left and the one on the right, and then we want to look at the one in the middle. And the first cross at which we look this morning is a cross of rebellion. The one who had rebelled against the Lord Jesus. And he said, and he railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. This man had nothing in his heart but hate. He had hate for those that accused him. The Jewish people had accused him. He had hate for those that crucified him. Those were the Roman soldiers. He had hate for them. He had nothing in his heart but despicableness for everyone. And he had hate in his heart for the other malefactor. When he said, what are you doing? You know, you're railing on him. We deserve this. No, I don't deserve it. And that's the attitude of most people today, is that they don't deserve it. And as long as hate is in their heart, they will never realize that they do deserve it. They never will realize but what they don't deserve, what they are getting. And then he had hate in his heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, If thou be the Christ, you save yourself and us. You save us. Thinking about nothing but himself. Everyone was hated by him but himself. He was putting himself on a pedestal, and that's something of which you and I must be careful, that we don't put ourselves on a pedestal in that degree. My friend, if you're in rebellion against God, you're in a dire circumstance. Do you want me to tell you something? You're going to lose. You're not going to win. If you're in rebellion against God, you must realize that it is the God of the universe with whom you are dealing. It is God who sets the standard. It is God who says what you must do to be saved. It is God through whom you must be saved. You'll never be saved any other way. And it was God's provision on that middle cross that was doing the saving. It was not the complaining on the left side. It was not the complaining on the right side. But it was God who was preparing the cross for the one in the middle, who had prepared it from before the foundation of the world. And you know what? The thief on the left side and the thief on the right side were also seen before the foundation of the world. They were seen there by God. And we'll get into that in a moment. So this person is like a person today. If you're in a situation and you're unsaved, and oftentimes when we are saved, we want to blame everybody else for the condition in which we find ourselves. I'm a sinner, and if I'm a sinner, God is to blame. Or my wife is to blame, or my child is to blame, or something, my job, or whatever it is, we want to blame everybody. And perhaps we can look at this fellow on the side there that was doing the complaining in the rebellious way he was complaining, And perhaps, as I've been speaking the last couple of Sunday nights, is that perhaps his parents had no time for him. Do you ever think that might make your child a rebel? Perhaps they had no time for him at all. Do you know what kids want most in this world? It's not money. It's not things. Kids want to be loved by their parents more than anything in the world. That's what kids want. And so perhaps this young fellow who became a rebel, perhaps he didn't have the love of his parents. Perhaps his parents didn't see that he attended the services in his day. Perhaps they didn't take him to the synagogue. Perhaps they didn't see that everything should be the way that God wanted it to be. Perhaps they had no time to get him in the congregation of the Lord. You know, perhaps this young fellow was just a burden. And now, because of being a burden, he was going to spend eternity in hell. He's going to spend eternity, and he's there. I have no record of him repenting. He's there, and I think God put it there before us as an example to show that if you don't accept, that is what God has to do. If you do accept, we'll see what God does do. So we have the cross of rebellion, the cross of hatred, the cross of being not recognized, even by our parents. And let me tell you, parents, and I'm going to speak on that the next time I speak on Sunday night, about what a kid wants. We've spoken to mothers, we've spoken to fathers, and we're going to relate to what kids need in this situation of teenage suicide. This fellow here perhaps could have committed suicide. He was, in effect, he was committing it right now. He was committing suicide in the fact that he was being nailed there, or he was nailed there, by the Roman soldiers, and his life was being taken. It was a wasted life, and it needed not to have been. All your children's lives are lives that God loves because the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. Whether they go to hell or whether they go to heaven, he died for them. Every one of them. And he loves them. And then the next person at which we want to look, and the next cross at which we want to look, is the cross of consideration. And that's all God asks you to do. God asks you to consider. In his heart, he too was a rebel. This person was a thief. He was just like the first one. He had accusers. He had those that crucified him. He had the same situation as the one who was rebellious. But perhaps we can use these perhaps again. Perhaps he had instruction at home, even though at the time he may have spurned it. Let me tell you this. Don't fail to give your children the Word of God. Even though they may seem like they are not listening, you saw what these little children can do in memorizing verses and singing songs. It rubs off. The Word of God rubs off. Don't fail to give your children instruction, because God has not only encouraged you to do this, God has commanded that you do this, that you give your children the Word of God. So perhaps he had this, and perhaps I believe this, you may not, but I think perhaps he had a praying mother who prayed for him, and she may not have seen her prayers answered, but she's seen them in heaven. She may have gone right down to the 11th hour and the 59th minute, and that's where he went. But I believe a praying mother prayed for him, and God does answer prayer. And it may be a good while before he does it in our time, but God does answer prayer. I believe that this person had to have someone who cared for him. And I believe that perhaps he had the Word of God spoken to him. Or he would have never considered, and he would never have looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." How did he know that he had a kingdom? How did he know that he was Lord? Faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And perhaps he had done this, and we can well imagine this. He had joined himself with the wrong crowd. How many of your kids or grandkids are doing that? Are you telling them about the right way and the wrong way? Are you being considerate toward them? Is there correction, as the Proverbs tells us? that if we correct him with the word, with the rod, with the sword, if we correct him by that, God will honor that. So have we done that? He joined himself to the wrong crowd. He's getting something for nothing. But he's getting, you see, there he was, hanging on the cross because he was a thief. And then he had perhaps been influenced more by evil than by good. And is this the case today? Are our young people being influenced more by evil than by good? And if they are, it's a downfall. It's a downfall. And we are in that today. We're in a society today that wants to live by monetary means and affluency. We want to live that way. If you're not affluent, if you don't have the money that someone else has, you're looked down upon. And this is the case, perhaps, with this young fellow. He didn't want to be looked down upon, so he stole some things. Now, this fellow's going around Florence and robbing all these restaurants. He doesn't know it, but he's headed for a downfall. Someday, he's going to be headed for a downfall. He may not be caught by the legal authorities in Florence, but he has to answer to God. Someday he's going to answer for this. And then the third cross at which we want to look is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a pencil, I'd like for you to write this down. The heart of Christianity is the Bible. Note that. Make sure you note that. The heart of Christianity is the Bible. The heart of the Bible is the cross. And the heart of the cross is the very heart of God. I'll go through that again. The heart of Christianity is the Bible. The heart of the Bible is the cross. And the heart of the cross is the very heart of God. Now, on this middle cross, we see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was there dying on that cross. Now, for whom did he die? He died for both of them, didn't he? He died for both of those sins of the sinner on the left and the sinner on the right. For the one who repented and the one who did not repent. For Jesus Christ died for the sin of the whole world. And as we look at this cross of Christ, we see the most awful and the most glorious sight that's ever been seen outside of the gates of heaven. We see the awful sight of God putting upon His Son what you and I deserve. We see the glorious sight of one who had accepted, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "This day shall thou be in paradise with me." And we see the cross of Christ is a cross of holiness. It was the holy God who died there on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for your sin. And then we see the vileness on the two sides of him. But it was for those vile sins of those two that he died. Now you and I are in the same classification, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the cross of Christ concerns love. The love of God and the sacrifice that God prepared because He loved. And then the cross of Christ concerns righteousness. Now that's God's standard. Now let me tell you something. God's standard never changes. Never, never, never. What God said before the foundation of the world, God has to do. Now, I know you read in the book of Genesis in chapter 6 that God repented himself. But that just means he sighed. God sighed because he'd already done it. And God couldn't change it. God made a covenant with himself before the foundation of the world for your salvation and my salvation. I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. I give you a lesson this morning in Hebrew. And to make you realize who God is, and it's, as it says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that means everybody can be saved, doesn't it? Does that mean everybody will be saved? No. But it says there that God's willing, not willing that any should perish. But I want you to see from the Word of God, God's righteousness, what God did, when He formed us, what God is going to do, and what God means when He says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7, it says, "Even everyone that is called by My name, for I have created him for My glory, I have formed him, I have made him." Now I want you to see here in these three words at which we want to look. The first one is, "I have created him." Now that word in the Greek language is bara, and that means to make something out of nothing. God made something out of nothing. When He made man, He made him out of nothing. When He made the world, He made it out of nothing. And then the next word that we see here is, "and I have formed him." And that word is yastar in the Greek, or in the Hebrew. And that just means that He fashioned. God fashioned, and He gave features to. God gave features to you and to me just like we have. So God formed something out of nothing. He gave features to what He had formed. And then the third word is, "I have made him." Now that word is awesome in the Hebrew. And that means something out of something. Now this is important. God made something out of something. God gave that something a positive pole and a negative pole. And that positive pole was that He could follow God's way or He could follow His way. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 14. And there you will see where sin entered into the universe. Sin entered into the universe in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, and it says there's five of them there, and you can notice, "I will, I will, I will, I will, and I will." This is when Lucifer, the most beautiful creature that God ever created, he said, "I will exalt my throne. I will do this." He says here, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." Now let me tell you something, and you get this. God did not make a provision for this "I will" of Satan, who became Satan. Now notice what I'm saying. God did not preordain before the foundation of the world that if the angels sinned, they could be redeemed. God did not do that. But God did before the foundation of the world, even before you and I were ever created, God made a covenant with Himself that He would send His Son into the world that whosoever believeth in Him. That God has a sovereign will. And God's will is that if a positive pole there, you see, Eve had a positive pole in her, she had a negative pole in her, which one did she choose? The negative. You see? It was God's will. God made a machine, as it were. In this, God made something out of something. And God gave us the ability to choose. And we blame God. But God gave us the ability to choose. God said, if you will believe in my Son, I'll give you eternal life. You see, God knew we were going to sin. God knew this thief on the left side there was a rebel. God knew that the other was going to consider. But God did not enter into their decision. You see what I'm trying to tell you? That God, before the foundation of the world, made a provision for himself to be justified and be just. God made that. And so God gave you. You can't lay it on God. God gave you and God gave me the right to choose. God didn't make us puppets. God made us, as it were, a machine, and he put a positive pole in us and a negative pole in us. And he wants us to understand what he has done there on the cross of Christ. God's cross, the cross of Christ concerned salvation for you and for me. That's why it was. It was there that you and I might have salvation and that we might be justified before God and God would be glorified in what he was doing and that he would said, as he said before the foundation of the world, I'm not willing that any should perish, but I'm not making you a robot to say that you have to accept me. You see what he's saying? I'm not making you a robot that you have to accept me. I'm giving you the opportunity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever, the positive pole. And if you select the negative pole like the thief did on the one cross, then my friend, you have to answer for all eternity. But God wanted to answer for your sin. God wanted to give you the opportunity, and he did give us the opportunity. The power of the cross is like the Passover. And if you're not aware of the Passover, that was a Jewish feast that when they celebrated once a year, and when they celebrate this, they were thinking about the time that God had passed over the houses of the Israelites down in Egypt because there were the firstborn were going to be killed because of the negative pole that had been accepted by Pharaoh and all his people. But do you know, if an Egyptian had been under the blood, he would have been what? Saved. He'd have been saved. But down there in Egypt, God said, you kill the Passover lamb, and you kill the lamb, and when I pass through the land at midnight, and I see the blood on the lintels and the doorposts, I will pass over you. Those people were safe. As long as they were in that house, they were safe. Why? Because God said so. You see, that's the reason. God had given them the ability, and suppose they'd have gone outside. The negative, you see, that's the choice. They'd have gone outside, they weren't believing God. I don't think this is going to happen. You know, many people say, well, I don't think it's going to happen and I'm going to go to hell when I die. My friend, you're taking an awful chance. I'll take my chances on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is what he's trying to get across here. And the Lord is telling us in this, God's righteousness never changes. And as we see there in 2 Peter 3 and 9, this Greek word is boulomahi. And that means the intent of God, and it is God's intent. You say, well, God, if God has the intent, it won't happen. God didn't make us that way. You see, that's like an automobile. It has a speedometer, and some of these new ones is up above 100, and some of the older ones 85. You can make that car go 85. You can make it go over 100. But you're probably more often going to get in trouble when you go over 100, even if the police don't catch you, you're probably going to end up in the trees someplace. I know if you drove that way in West Virginia, there's very few roads in West Virginia you can drive 100 on. You better get an airplane and take off so that you won't have to go around those curves. But you see, you're heading for trouble because you're not listening to what God said. God gave the law to show man that he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And you see, and so he gave us grace Aren't you glad that God doesn't judge by law? He judges by grace. And it's His grace, His wonderful grace that He gave to you and to me. Oh, the cross is a symbol of the almighty power of God. There on that cross, my salvation was won. Your salvation was won. God could look down and say, I'm satisfied, because now everyone, now listen to me. Everyone that has gone astray, and we've all gone that way, God has taken care of that with the positive pole that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a negative one in Him. You see? There's never a negative one in Him. And He was God Himself. And God took care of that. And so every one of us has gone out of the way. The thief on the right, the thief on the left have gone out of the way. What saved the thief on the one side? I don't know which side. But what saved him? His trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God ordained before the foundation of the world. God wants you to be conformed to me, to Him. God wants me to be conformed to Him. Don't listen to this nonsense that God deemed some people to go to hell and God deemed some people to go to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. God knows. God knows, my friend. And there is a sovereignty of God. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach today. God is sovereign. He knows. But my friend, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that word there, repentance. And what does that mean? Does that mean I boo-hoo for my sins? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. But there is a godly sorrow for sin. But it means you must turn around. You must go the opposite way that you're going. You must agree with God that God has a plan for your life, that God does not want you to go to hell, but you're going there if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just as simple as that, and any preacher that doesn't preach that's not worth the salt that goes in his bread. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. There's no other way. The power of the cross. We sing the song, there's power in the blood. Oh, my friend, there's enough power in the blood to save everybody that's in this world. And you know, I'm safe because of God's determination. Not my own. Aren't you glad of that? You're safe because of God's determination. The death of the cross. You know, it's spoken of, I've looked it up, and it's spoken of at least, now maybe you can find more than that, of at least 175 times in the Scriptures. It must be important, mustn't it? If God speaks once, but the cross of Christ is the central place, the central theme, the central sphere of everything. Because that's where God finished the work. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's finished. What's finished? The ability to give me the right to go to heaven. Jesus Christ was going back to heaven irregardless. He was the Son of God. But He was going back there. But God didn't want Him to go. Now let me tell you this, and I can say this with all joy this morning, and I can say this with all pride this morning, and I can say it with all humility this morning, God didn't want Him to go without me. You know that? You can put that word right in your... God didn't want Him to go, and you can point right there, without me. Now, why do I deserve to go? I don't. Why am I going? Because of what was happening on the cross. Now, what was happening there? God was paying the penalty for this negative pole of mine. God was paying the penalty for my great ancestors. When Adam and Eve were here, they were innocent. They weren't. They had the capacity in them to sin, and they did. See, God did not create a robot. God created someone that He could love. You couldn't love a robot. Now, you ladies might think you could, but you couldn't. You tell your husband what to do all the time. You sooner or later, you get tired of that. I think you would. I don't know when my wife will, but I think you would get tired of that. So, you see, you don't want someone that you can just dictate to, and God doesn't want that. That's not love. God wants to love you and to love me. And Mr. Bramhall has said, and I believe everything that man says about the Bible, he says in 1 John where it says, we love him because he first loved us. He says that him is not in the original Greek. And I've meant to look it up, but I still haven't done it because I believe what he says. He says, we love because he first loved us. Think of that. We love because he first loved us. We love each other. We love him. First of all, we love God, and then if we love God, we love others. If we love others, we love God. You can't do one without the other. Did you know that? You can't love other Christians unless you're a Christian yourself. You can't love God unless you love other Christians. Therefore, we know we pass from death unto life because we what? Love the brethren. We love the brethren. So love is the bond that solidifies us together into Christ and to God. And so God wants you and me to realize this wonderful cross about which we're speaking today. It's ugly, it's awful, but it's beautiful. And if it were not there, we would be of all men most miserable, and we better be out having a good time. Because this is the end of it, if it weren't for the cross. But aren't you glad? There on the cross, there on that mount, God put his son to death. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God for you and for me. God didn't have to put his son to death for the positive pole and the negative pole of what we're speaking, because he had no negative pole. He said, which of you convinces me of what? Sin. Nobody could convince him of sin. And the men, the Pharisees sent these men to take him, and he said, never anybody spoke like that. But you see, the negative pole was working. And the negative pole is influenced by evil. And the negative pole took him and nailed him to a cross. But my friend, you don't get above God. God was using the negative pole for his purpose, to put his son on the cross. Jesus had to die on the cross, or we would never have salvation. Did you know that? Evilness was the negative pole was working in men. Now, God didn't want it that way as far as the individual. They worked in the negative pole, was working within them. And the positive pole, we were speaking the other day about little Desiree, one of them that sang up here this morning. You know she was saved last Sunday night? Isn't that wonderful? It was a positive pole that told her that, you know, I need God. This little girl kept telling me that she wanted to be saved, and I sat down with her, and I couldn't quite get across to her, but God bless Noe Sue did. See, isn't that wonderful? She sat down with her and worked with her because she's worked with child evangelism. It didn't take her a half an hour to lead the little girl to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you see, this is something. Now, it was all possible. And what did Millie Sue tell her? I don't know. I wasn't in here. But I'll bet it was about the cross of Christ. Had to be. It had to be. And the awfulness, even in that little child, she's a sinner. She had to realize that or she can't be saved. And the goodness of God. And so we see here the wreath that God is putting upon the things of Christ. When someone does something or we like to decorate up something, we put wreaths on our doors or in the Christmas time. And God is putting wreaths upon the cross of Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ died there, and the Apostle Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And the good news is that Christ died, and he died for our sin. He died for your sin and my sin. Now, I want you to note, though, that the cross was shameful. He was dying there for murderers. He was dying there for robbers. He was dying there for adulterers. He was dying there for liars. And when I put that word in, that includes all of us. You know, I may not be a murderer. I may not be a thief. I may not be an adulterer. But I'm a liar. And if you tell me you're not, you're already adding to your sins. You know you've lied. And God places that just as bad as murder. You see, when we lie, we're letting the negative pole outweigh the positive pole. And this is something with the Christian, as we're told in 1 John chapter 4, that the positive pole in you is greater than the negative pole. You see, that's what he's saying. Greater is he, the Holy Spirit, who is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have the possibility and the capability as Christians to overcome those things. But if you're not saved, you don't. When you're not saved, that old negative pole just says, let's do it. And you know what you start to do? And over here is the temptation. You just keep until you're there. You can't help it. But when you're saved and the temptation is over here, then you have this positive pole that says, no, 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 no. And you have the capacity through the Lord Jesus Christ to let the Holy Spirit live through you, live that life through you. A shameful death. But my friend, it was voluntary. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of God. The will of God was written in his heart. I think, isn't it in Luke's Gospel, about chapter 22, where he was praying, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but listen, thine be done. He knew what the will of God was. He knew that he had to die on the cross, or God could not save people. Abraham couldn't be saved. I thought you said that was thousands of years before. It was, but the people in the Old Testament were saved the very same way that the last person will be saved in the New Testament. By F-A-I-T-H. In whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Back there it was on credit. Here we already know, and we're waiting for him to come back. And I think maybe Abraham could put us to death, put us to shame by the lack of our faith. And it was a substitutionary death. He laid down his life for a purpose, that I could be saved. He just didn't go there and die. He died for a purpose. He died that you and I might have the wonderful salvation of God. Oh, I think God rejoiced when Jesus Christ died. And the Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why? And it was because God had foreordained before the foundation of the world that he was not willing that any should perish. And he gave us this ability to choose, and he wanted those to be able to choose the salvation that he wanted for them. Oh, my friend, God, that's the reason it says there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. Now, I don't want to get too ticklish with that, but it does not say the angels rejoice. You read it, it says there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. Who are they, those saints? An angel doesn't know anything about salvation, but we do. Christ died for our sins. That's found before the foundation of the world. If you look it up, God didn't say those angels who went the negative way. It says in Matthew's Gospel that the lake of fire was prepared for whom? The devil and his angels. Not for you. If you go there, you're going to a place that wasn't prepared for you. God made the provision. So don't go out of this place today and say, if I'm going to heaven, it's God's will. Yes, you can say that. If I go to hell, it's God's will. No, you can't say that. You can't say that. Because God does not will that any should perish. He's made the provision for you not to perish, but you have to choose. You have to let the Lord Jesus Christ say to you, as he said to that thief on the cross, I found you. I found you today. You're going to be with me in paradise. And he couldn't find that other one. Because he wouldn't let it. You see, he wouldn't let it. He had so much hate in his heart that he wouldn't let it. My friends, the cross of Christ and Christ himself are one. Christ and the cross are one. They're inseparable. Why? Because who's nailed to it? It was. Who was nailed to it? Christ was nailed to the cross. He's not there now, but he was nailed. And we can't separate the one from the other and have good news. He died there on the cross. So sin must be, and we know if we would really be honest with ourselves, must be indescribably awful. And you know it is. When you sin, you're in debt, aren't you? You have something to which you're in debt. And so it's awful in the sight of God that He loves the sinner. When He could not and will not accept anyone, whether it's you or whether it's me, He won't accept anyone who has not accepted the price that He paid for sin. It's paid for. It's not cheap. It's paid for by God, and He wants you and He wants me to see that His holy, spotless, perfect person of His Son died for you and died for me because we had all gone astray. Isaiah 53 and 10 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned the way of the positive. But God says, I love them and I want them to be drawn unto me. And so the drawing power is the cross of Christ. And it draws us into a place where the Holy Spirit can say, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. He keeps convicting, convicting, and He tells that old negative pole and tells it the positive is the person of the Holy Spirit within you. And if you yield to that and say, I believe it, then God is satisfied. That's the propitiation for our sins. The beloved Son died for you. He died for me. He died for the whole world. And it's so simple. You don't have to be a genius to understand that. The Lord Jesus said, suffer the little children. And little Desiree is only 7 years old. And she knows for a fact. Millie Sue said she gave her some loopholes and she wouldn't accept those. She knows that the Lord Jesus Christ. So if that little child knows that, oh, isn't it wonderful that she won't have to go through life without the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we wait a long time before we're ever saved. And after we are, we wonder why it took so long. I baptized a man in a hospital in West Virginia that was 90-some years old. I led him to the Lord when he was 87. And we baptized him in a therapy tank. He wanted so bad to be baptized, and we did it in a therapy tank. That's a blessed tank, isn't it? That we did that. But, you know, and I brought Mr. Lum, most of you know him as my father in the faith. He's been here and spoke. And I introduced this man to his granddad. I said, this is your granddad. Mr. Lum here was about, at that time, was say about 60, and this man was 94. But his granddad in the faith. And so it'd be wonderful if we could introduce people to their granddads in the faith, or their dads in the faith. That's why Christ died on the cross, because He loves you and loves me. As we sing our hymn of invitation, oh, what a wonderful hymn it is. The glory of the cross, about which we're hallelujah for the cross. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you let us take the Bible and show you where you can be saved and know it. And then you can go away singing this song with us, hallelujah, for the cross. If our brother will come, we'll sing that hymn in closing.
Let us turn to hymn 43, hallelujah, for the cross. And if you are a born-again Christian, if you know the Lord this morning, then you should and you must sing it as you know Him. All right? Let us stand as we sing, the cross is standard fast.